You've tuned into the Bellingham Podcast for the months of February and March 2024. This is episode 231. That's 231. From the city by the Salish Sea, I am Chris Powell.
Ooh, and from 98226, I'm AJ Barsay. And on this episode, Chris and I are catching up on the mic because you might have noticed for 2 months we've been gone. No, we have not been in a penitentiary like Chris usually likes to do. Life occurred. And you'll find out what next on the Bellingham Podcast.
Sometimes in life, you just got to switch things up. AJ, how the heck are you?
Oh, man, I am doing well, man. Like, look at this. It's almost spring out if it wasn't 39 degrees out.
From our recording studios in Casa de Barsay, there is the sunshine and it is above freezing, which is a lot different than it was for our January episode as we were recording back then. And, you know, as we're just riffing, as we're getting ready to record, just kind of switch things up where normally AJ starts off the show, but I'm going to start off the show this one. Anyway, I'm grumpy, dear
Don't
listeners.
Be grumpy.
I know. I don't want to be because I got a good weather outside, mm-hmm. a good podcast partner, and mm-hmm. a tasty, good beverage. You got this new, somewhat new flavor from LaCroix.
Yeah.
Because we're doing a seltzer. Do the clink. Shake. Yep. That's an aluminum can clink for you. Cherry blossom, because the cherry blossoms are in bloom elsewhere around the world, not in AJ's backyard.
No.
But exactly. And so I'm getting a little bit better because good. We are 231 episodes going on.
Yes.
It is time to talk about what we've been doing the past few weeks. AJ, go for it.
Yeah. So February in the Pacific Northwest was a bit brutal.
Chapter two.
So winter decided, and this is the part of the episode where we always talk about the local weather and the local stuffs. So I think I may have mentioned this, but like we had this really bad cold snap. I ended up having to get a major cleanup of some broken pipes and some water-related stuff to a washing machine that was out in my garage.
Housing repairs occurred.
Oh, to everybody in this town, right? Yeah. I wasn't the only one.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, luckily it wasn't anything too major except having to get a new washing machine, get new plumbing, get new electrical, sing along if you know the words. And on top of that, you and I both are freelancing. We had some other stuffs, obligations that we had on the docket that we had to deal with.
Yep, I had some black ops wet work that I had to do in an undisclosed right. location. But now right. I'm back, so that's
right.
great.
But so we had clientele and stuff. But the big thing that we were also dealing with in my family, as anybody knows, has listened to the show in the last 8 years, my son has a ton of allergies. His allergy reaction flared up recently involving some medical aid that had to happen and stuff. So I was kind of down for the count for a little bit, helping with family stuff. So we're back, and we're back to hopefully a regular recording schedule if there's not any, you know, sharknadoes that are scheduled for the weather.
That's usually in Bowen Edison where they would have the sharknadoes, but they're right. south of Bellingham, so we don't need to worry about
right.
that
right.
right now.
Well, I mean, the reason why I was also saying sharknado, the other thing that I was pot committed to was my dive mastering class, which
that's
I was
a poker term, not a weed term. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Let's clarify for the listeners out there.
It is legal in our state. However, no, so no, I was committed to finishing up my dive mastering class. I graduated. I did my checkout dives in the frigid, freezing Puget Sound waters that we had.
Yaha.
So I'm a full dive master and stuff with
full
SSI.
Full dive master. Yep. On behalf of everyone in the Bellingham Podcast family, congratulations, AJ.
Thank you. So yeah, so that was my other commitments that I had. And
coming soon to 200 meters below sea level in your area.
No, I am not going to 200 meters anytime soon.
Okay, fine.
But 40 meters, yes. So yeah, so that kind of wraps up on my side. What have you, I mean, other than your quote wet work, like, you know, drinking seltzer at home, what have you been doing, Mr. Powell?
February was a tough month from relational standpoints. My beautiful wife and I know a lot of people. It just you ever get this place, get to this place where just so many people, like more than a high school carpentry teacher's hand of people who are getting stage four cancer.
Yes.
Coworkers, friends, neighbors.
Yes.
We love them all. We want the best for them. But when someone's got an early onset of something,
At a younger than normal age, correct.
It was tough. And so there was a lot of relating. There's a lot of compassion, a lot of support. And, you know, Valentine's Day. Hey,
What's funny is, like, I'm glad we got a lot of feedback on our mental health, or not, or just the health and well-being episode that we did.
Yeah.
Kind of, we did that and we kind of like had to sign off. And then it was kind of poignant that we did that. And then everything else that we've had to deal with in the last month and a half.
And as a result, you know, my wife and I get to support each other. I'm doing what I can to support from what I'm capable of, as is she. Yeah. And creating content, I've been enjoying the relational technologist mindset Substack that I have been working on. I've enjoyed updating Canvas Insider for that little niche product I support. And I have gotten a rash of, once again, more
there's
than
a cream for a rash.
Yeah, exactly. But I've gotten, one is an anomaly, two is a curiosity, three is a trend. I've gotten more than a trend of people who have contacted me in dire straits. Mm-hmm, and I'm not talking about the Mark Knopfler Money for Nothing band, but they were scammed.
Yes.
And in some cases, the adversaries, the bad people, got their finances. Mm-hmm. They got fished in. And I'm so sad that this is occurring. It's ramping up,
it is.
I'm trying not to be grumpy this episode. I really am, but I consulted with them. I supported them. We tried to get them stabilized after that, and also trying to explain what happened. A lot of it is like seconds after they got off the phone call.
Yes,
and so that is difficult. But if you're listening out there, don't trust anything you get in an email, even from AJ and Chris.
Yes.
Because first of all, we're not going to send you an email.
Nope. Unless you subscribe to our Substack. Substack sends it automatically.
That's right. But also just be very, very suspicious about anything you receive, especially when it comes to an urgent or an urgent thing about your account, or a receipt for an invoice for something, a subscription.
Norton. That one's the one that comes up a lot in the clients I've talked. So yeah, I had an instance of this, is not me, but speaking from a friend here, they had a loved one call them in a frantic because they thought they got duped. Here's the thing that I will just throw out there. At no point will Apple, Microsoft, Chris Powell, AJ Barsay ever phone or email you saying, hey, so for the goods and services that we have not provided you, you owe us $100 in Apple gift cards. Do not go out. And I'm serious. And that's how
I know.
These scammers, you're chuckling. And I know it sounds absolutely absurd. Like, I've heard of stories of, like, and a little bit of maybe AI gets into this as well, because they can scrape data faster. You know, they can get a convincing story. Like, you have a loved one who's stuck behind a border somewhere and they need some money transferred real quick. And the only way that's good, if you can get this thing real fast. No. The answer is no. No.
I'll be sharing something in our quality assurance section coming up at the towards the end of the episode. You'll like what I have.
Okay.
If this is something that you are familiar with, or you know someone who's had to contend with this. Anyway, a big amount of they're really coming out in droves to try to get to your assets, to your money, to your account information. We've got to be even more vigilant and suspicious. Let's get happier, shall we?
Oh, I've got happy. So since we've been offline for a while, and you and I haven't had a lot of time to chat, so I do most of the admin for the show.
Because you're awesome like that.
And so, because I have the social medias and you don't. Yeah. So there's a couple of shout outs I want to throw out there, because the listeners, Chris, the people who love us, Chris.
Yes, the ones that we all are near and dear to our hearts. Go on.
The thousands and thousands of the Billion Podcast, which honestly, we do adore all of you, and thank you for writing in genuinely.
Yep, absolutely.
So my first one's going to go out to Becky. She reached out from Core Physio. That's a local physical therapy clinic here in Bellingham. And of course, like anything, this is not a promotion or anything like that. It's just, this is somebody who wrote in, loved the show, and wanted to just share like our stuff within like their group and help people get out, because Captain Get Out here.
That's right.
The Urban Hikers Grand Tour and stuff. So anyway, I wanted to say to Becky and her group of peeps, hi, we hear you. We
Becky
see you.
Becky from Core Physio, thank you for the wonderful words, and we are glad that you're actually enjoying the show.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. And, as the weather gets nicer, we might be doing some additional updated information post-COVID for Urban Hikers Grand Tour, which was
season
a previous...
Season 3, I think.
Oh, it's way back in the archives. But, stay tuned, because we dig you, and we want to be able to provide some updated content coming from a non-hiker such as myself.
But man, that was that 200th episode at the top of the
Oh,
mission,
man,
buddy.
The Oyster Dome. Don't remind me. I still have PTSD from that. No. No, you get a guest host for that one. I'm a power guy. Come I will on. Help lift a piano. I won't climb to the top of the Oyster Dome. I did it once. And anyway, who's next?
Next is Adam. He's a friend in the Watch fam, and we've been chatting back and forth. He has some ties back up here in Bellingham from his college days. And so anyway, I wanted to give him a shout out because he's a newly formed writer and creator for a site that he's calling Watchcology. So watch and psychology, Watchcology, right?
The science and the psych behind watches.
Well, you need to sign up for it because he's also on this thing called the Substack.
Oh, I've heard of that. It's a great service. Yeah.
Anyway, he's kind of like in the same vein as like Analog Explorer approved here. Like he's kind of tailoring around watches and watch stories and probably around, you know, watchmakers and watch wearers and stuff. So anyway, I wanted to give him a shout out because he's loosely connected back up here to Beeham. So.
Well, I wanted to give a loosely held greeting to WatchFam. Adam, thanks for being part of the Bellingham podcast story and the family.
Yeah. Speaking of story and family, do you know where you can get the most story and family of the Bellingham podcast?
Well, let me ask my drunk Uncle Harvey. I think last time I checked with drunk Uncle Harvey, that's at KMRE 88.3.
It is the place to be. Pop and hot by the city, by the sailor sea.
I didn't have the pop and hot part because I knew you'd ad-lib something, but yes, we thank KMRE, our Bellingham favorite radio station, for broadcasting our humble podcast episodes.
Eight years
and counting. Here's to eight more. But yeah, check them out on the terrestrial airwaves at 88.3 and online.
Yes. At kmre.org.
That's right. I pointed to you, therefore you must yeah. sit.
Yes. I know. He was like, what does this mean?
I'm pointing my index finger at you as opposed to another finger that would create a different reaction.
Let's keep it clean. This is a clean and family show. Yeah,
my fingers are clean. I wash them.
Oh, good. Yeah. Better than my 7-year-old.
That's
so anyway.
Right.
So this this part of the episode, we're going to dive into a couple of new things. Chris has a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction with some LaCroix. We're going to dive into kind of some of the new stuff that's been going on in our world. One of the things that has been new to my family and such is with the turn of a new year, we got a new vehicle for the first time
yes.
in 11 years.
You know, you drove it in the ground, huh?
We took good care of our little silver car. It was great.
Okay. What'd you get?
Well, so we got, it was a Hyundai. We stuck with Hyundai because honestly, their warranty is really good.
Uh-huh.
So we went with a Hyundai Kona. So something a little bit bigger than my wife's beloved little Accent. Very zippy little car. It was great. But the Kona, we went EV. We went full electric.
You are in the electric plug-in realm.
Yes, I'm juiced up. So, and it's funny because like, if you're listening to this and you're eye rolling, or if you're listening to this going, oh, way cool. Like, look, when it comes to EVs, I have discovered now that I have one, it can be a kind of a contentious thing. Largely because like, oh, you're virtue signaling that about the end of the world. No, look, here's why. You want to know why we got an EV?
I do want to know why.
Because gas is expensive.
Yes.
And electricity, at least here in Bellingham in the state of Washington, because we have a lot of green, energy ways, it's cheaper. So
for now.
It is for now. Yes. So I get that. But here's the thing. So like economics, right? So my wife for the last 4 months has been doing hospital rotations. She has to drive a lot. We did the gas costing.
Mm-hmm.
It costs her $8 a day in gas.
Okay.
She has to go do her hospital rotations every day
mm-hmm.
for 4 months.
Okay.
Okay. And for this round, because she has to do it, she's wrapping up soon.
I'm doing math in my head. Go on.
Okay. So this new car and stuff. So we also got the we have to plug it in here at night and all that jazz. So I wanted to know, like, from a generic user, family of three with an EV, what would be the cost difference? And so far, instead of paying $8 in gas, because here's the thing. When you have an EV, there's this misconception. Oh, yeah, it's like you're driving for free. No, you're still, just like you pay for gas, you still pay for electricity, whether it's at home or if you're at a rapid station or anything like that, a charging station. But here at the house, it is the most economical. It costs us, for the same mileage, $2 a day in electricity.
All right.
So over time, and again, like she's a working mom, you know, she's going to be doing the chauffeuring because as any of us who are parents know, we are Ubers to our children, right?
Yes.
So for us, the thing is that the range on this vehicle, it's, it's not like some of the higher end models that are like Teslas. I think they have like ranges up like 300 and some odd miles. Like I said, I'm brand new to the EV camp, folks. Put your pitchforks back. I'm brand new to this. But here's the thing is that, you know, for 260 miles of range on a charge, we've been able to go from here to Seattle and back without, what's it called? Range anxiety. We haven't had range anxiety.
You're not getting down towards the E.
No, because here's the thing that I've realized. If you're a motorcycle rider, this is no different. Like, you have to I have a 3.5 gallon tank on my motorcycle, okay? And if I get 80 miles to the gallon because I have a small bike, it's easy math. Like, I don't have, you know, large range when I'm on two wheels anyway. Planning your trip on an EV is very similar. The other thing that I always get is like, oh, aren't you worried there's not enough charging plugs? No. I mean, if you look up and down the I-5 corridor, it's electrified, like, I'll get out. So there's ample opportunity. Now, if you go from east to west or west to east, yeah, there's a little bit more planning that needs to be done. But that's also not why we got this car. This is the get around town car. This is the, you know, commuting from here to Skagit and back car. Because I still have my pickup truck that goes up to the mountains and goes diving with me. You know, like, it's a different tool. And that's the thing that I wanted to get across, because I've talked to people from both sides of the camp where they kind of see, like, oh, you're one of them now. You got those EV cars. Look, I will be the first person to josh with you. Like, look, I love my street legal electric golf cart that's powered by an iPad. But here's the thing. Like, in town, for me to drive my Toyota Tacoma, I'm lucky if I get 19 to 20 miles a gallon in town. I am lucky, okay? If I get it up on the highway, I can get her up to 24, 25 miles a gallon. With an EV, it's like comparable to saying that you're getting equivalent of like 111 miles a gallon in town. It's economics.
Offset by the cost of the vehicle,
correct,
depending if you purchased it outright or taking monthly payments,
correct,
or doing the lease, that L word,
yes,
lease program. I'm still in the place, and call me grumpy old man.
I understand.
That I am not quite bought in yet.
I get you.
But the not quite could change to getting to be bought in. I'm observing,
yeah,
with my good eye.
So am I.
All of the electric vehicle proliferations in the northwest of the Northwest. Mm-hmm. We are a bit of a progressive area.
Correct.
And we don't have, like, maybe some of the heartland where you would go 90 miles between mm-hmm. towns on highway, or, you know, some states down south that would be miles and miles of highway. So you've got these opportunities to not gas up, but to refuel,
right,
so to speak. How is the experience of having a quiet? So if I,
we're gonna go for a ride, Chris.
I know, and we'll record probably.
I know my wife need. We won't drive and record at the same time.
Oh, that would be distracting.
That would be distracted driving.
Yeah,
we do not endorse that. But no, it is a bit bananas. Here's the other thing too. Like, my truck. So my Toyota Tacoma has a V6, not to 60 in about 8 seconds,
sure,
which is pretty good.
You can floor it if you want to.
I could, and she does just fine. My wife's old little Accent with a 4-cylinder, uh-huh, a very fuel effective car.
Oh, yeah.
I think not to 60 was just like 15 seconds. It was just it was a grind, especially,
yep,
getting on I-5. This thing not to 60 in 6 seconds flat.
Okay.
In sport mode, it's bananas.
So it's got great acceleration, but let's be real, very rarely in Bellingham will you ever be able,
correct,
to go 0 to 60 without people in front of you.
Correct.
Or, you know, traffic.
But again, like, it's funny because, like, I'm 2 months into this. So, and again, it's my observations and such. I've noticed two things I wanted to bring up on, or three things I want to bring up on the show, really, is one, the driving experience with an EV is more akin to driving experience with a motorcycle in the fact that you have more route planning, but also it's not about necessarily just blitzing to where you're going and then fueling up and blitzing to, like, you kind of mosey. So
okay,
when you, for instance, our shopping patterns have changed a little bit. So I've spent more time at the mall, Chris. I'm going to eat some crow here.
There's nothing wrong with our fine mall and how it's working on evolving itself.
So here's the thing. At our mall, it's free charging. So I can go up and do shopping at, say, Target, because I have a family here,
yes,
to go get some vittles,
mm-hmm,
and get, you know, a free hour or two of charging that I don't have to pay for.
That's a compelling argument for.
When we travel up north to, say, Linden, there's Drayton Harbor, great oyster house that's up there. In the city of Linden, at least at the time of this recording, because everything can always change, parking is free if you're paying for as an electric vehicle.
Oh, like validated parking.
Exactly.
Okay.
So there's things like that where, you know, you kind of set up your route just like on a motorcycle. And then also you're planning to get somewhere, spend some time. And that's something that's a little bit different in car culture in America. It's like we want to, you know, we're going to drive cross country and spend 5 days to get across or whatever. And that's cool. I mean, if you have to get to point A to point B, I get it. But it forces you to kind of spend more time going, oh, well, what's this little burg here? We'll stop off here. Hey, this probably has a really good place. Let's go find the best. What's the Bellingham podcast equivalent of the best coffee house in this town while we're here? Yep. We'll get a charge for like 30 minutes, an hour or whatever. And let's go get coffee. Let's explore this town. And it forces you to slow down a little bit. That's something that I've noticed. And it's more akin to like, you know, motorcycle riding where you pull up and you get a load of fuel. You need to get off, stretch a little bit.
Yes.
And you explore. Coming from the analog explorer, that's something that's cool. The second thing I want to bring up is I find electric vehicles are really just solid state driving. So when we have gas cars, that's more like akin to like in technology where we had spinning hard drives. Okay. They were non-solid state.
Uh-huh.
Driving with an EV is just solid state driving.
Okay.
And there is a little bit of difference because what if I told you, Chris, you could drive this car with one pedal? You don't have to use the brake pedal.
That would confuse me greatly.
Right? It's a different driving experience. And some other EV vehicles do this as well. There's like one pedal driving or iPedal driving where the regen on the motor, because
that's short for regeneration, kids.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Like you can gear it down. There's no gears, but you can gear down the actual electric motor so that there's a little extra drag, and that actually gives you regenerative charging back into your battery, so you can extend your range. So going downhill essentially is kind of free, as it were, because you're always regenning some amount.
I recall in the early days of the Prius,
yes.
I had a coworker buddy who may still have that Prius, but I recalled a concept called hypermiling.
Yes.
And
that's a thing.
Feathering the accelerator and things to get the miles per gallon up to like 200 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Hypermiling is still a big thing, but like I kind of see it as like, it's a new version of mechanics where it's akin to like technology. This is just solid state driving, and with it there's some, I think, some net benefits, because because if you're feathering and stuff, you're less likely, especially because of all of the new for safety in this thing, to go fast. If you're looking at trying to get the best economy, you know, you're slowing down, you're more attentive. So I see some other effects of having a solid state driving experience than what we have currently in gas driving.
Very similar to your experience behind a motorcycle.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
so
cool.
there's a different focus there. And then getting to the first question you ask is, how is it behind something that doesn't make a noise? Well, she does. It hums. So.
But is it auto-tune?
Well, it can be. So like I found out this is a thing with EVs because they're so quiet that they're, I don't know if it's a regulation or whatnot, but they have to have like this chiming, ooh, it sounds like a UFO.
Yeah. So in case you get oblivious pedestrians, they're not walking into you as you're backing them over, running them over.
Yeah. So my 7-year-old loves it because it's like, oh, make the car sing. And it happens at like 25 miles an hour or less, I think is what it is.
Low impact collisions.
Right, right. And so, you know, it is interesting because you do hear more. Like a lot of the noise in your vehicle actually isn't from the engine. A lot of contemporary cars, they've done a lot of sound dampening between that big a block of iron going into your cabin. But you still get road noise from the car's wheels and such. But it's funny because you hear everybody else's loudness. So if you have somebody that has, you know, ripping pipes and stuff, man, you hear it more because you don't have any other ambient noise that you're generating.
It sounds like you got a quality vehicle recently.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, it's an experiment. But again, for us, it just was economically feasible because we went from a high fuel efficiency gas car and we're just kind of doing that same trajectory with this one.
I'm hoping that we won't see the same trajectory with the affordability on the electricity side, similar to how things were in the streaming world, where it was great and you could cut the cord for the television, and then all of a sudden here come all the we don't need to talk about that because that would make me grumpy again.
No, but I mean, like, at least for PSE, you know, full disclosures, you know, Puget Sound Energy and stuff. So like we have a tiered system. Like if you're in residential, you actually have been on a tiered system since you've been plugged in. It's just most of the time you don't go over that first cap. And I think it's, don't quote me on this, I think it's like 400 kilowatt hours a month or something like that. And then you go from like 11 cents a kilowatt. If you go into tier two, it's 13 cents a kilowatt. So it's still, you know, fuel efficient. But again, coming from the concept of We're a family. I need to get to point A to point B with my kiddo. My wife needs to do the same thing. Yep. She needs to commute. And, you know, in less than 2 months, we've put in like 3,000 miles on this car. Like, she's commuting a lot.
Yeah.
So we've already seen a savings because my truck has not had to.
And that would get a different kind of wear and tear.
Yeah. That's something else that we're, I'm kind of interested in is the mechanics of this. It is a different, because it's solid state. It's akin to, you know, if a hard drive dies, maybe you can salvage it if you flip it upside down or freeze it. Some of us remember those days.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a lot more like those solid state, you know, Samsung drives. Once it's dead type
that's
of thing.
That's that.
And that's where we come back to the warranty. That's why we went with Hyundai, 10 years on the powertrain and such. And the battery depletion, according to their spec, in 10 years, it should not deplete more than 70%.
All right.
So, like I said, it's from a tech perspective, it's an interesting... It is my legalized street legal golf cart powered by an iPad.
This is not an advertisement for any electric vehicle at all, but this is your experience.
Wanted to give a different opinion on it.
There you go.
2 months in, almost 3 months in. What about you, Chris?
I mainly wanted to, I was just a grumpy butt, didn't like the cost of gas, cost
well,
of groceries.
I just came up with something else.
Yes, that's a great alternative, but the the barrier to entry currently is difficult. The cost of things, I've been working on ways to stretch the dollar and, you know, evaluate what streaming services the family needs to have. Mm-hmm. How can things ramp up or ramp down? Where can one shop for saving a couple bucks here and there, et cetera, because, you know, the times are tough.
So what have you ramped down? Come on, dish. I dished about my ramping up of a car to ramp down my fuel costs. So
talked about ending the Amazon account and Amazon Prime in the past. We are having the discussion, and it's a tough one. Do we end the Apple Music Apple One plan, which contains news and the music and the other Apple TV Plus and other things for what used to be $15 going up to $26 or so.
Wait,
bucks.
Your wife uses iCloud, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yes, never mind.
Yeah,
okay.
Apple. Well, no, hang on.
Okay, talk to me, Goose. Yeah. Talk to me.
No, it's just it's a factor. But.
Now, you're probably wondering why we're winding down. Well, because you might be listening to us on KMRE 88.3. Right here in the city by the Salish Sea. And because of that, we have a 30-minute slot that we have to fit, even though in podcast land, we have infinite amount of space and time and continuum. So I'm going to split this into two episodes, 231 and then 232, just to make it helpful for our friends over at KMRE. Now, if you're subscribed to us in the podcast feed, you'll just see them both dropped in there. But if you're tuning us in on terrestrial radio, you'll be hearing Chris and I come back next month for episode 232. So that wraps up this 231st edition of the Bellingham Podcast. Thank you again so much for listening to us, rating us, reviewing us, wherever you like to get this podcast. And if you are in Bellingham, you've tuned into us on KMRE 88.3. I'm AJ Barce from that city by the Salish Sea. And as spring is getting here, your captain, get out. Thank you so much and hit the feeds for 232. Man, it's kind of lonely without Chris here.
And I'm Chris Powell from 98.
I can't do Bear Pump twice. I can't. He's irreplaceable.